And our special guest tonight, John Hoag, we will talk about his predictions and his work. And I've got to point this out. John was with me back in May of this year, May 4th, as a matter of fact. I want to read his prediction, May, back several months ago. It said he sees a strong hurricane season with the eastern seaboard getting hit worse than in previous years. Hello, Hurricane Irene. We'll be back with John in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. John Hoag writes on the subjects of the occult, parapsychology, mysticism, prophecy, considered definitely a world authority on Nostradamus, a best-selling author in his own right. His work was brought to him international acclaim. He has been published in 18 languages, has appeared on more than 700 radio and television shows on three continents, and I would guess, John, probably 50 to 75 appearances on Coast to Coast. What do you think?
Well, we started in 1994 with Art and those five-hour Wagnerian marathons. And, I've never counted. I mean, it's been a year all through this time. Yeah.
It is.
Might be that many.
Well, you had a hit. You had a hit when you talked about the eastern seaboard getting hit by a hurricane. Worse, you said, than in any previous years, and indeed this one was. You were right on the button on that one.
Yes, it's always a weird feeling when something that just drops in there from an oracular discipline, simply I say it, and then often I consciously try even to forget it that I said it, and then I have to go back periodically and check things that have been written down in these books. And look at transcripts of shows, and I go, my God, yes. So I'm kind of as shocked as probably everybody else might be at the accuracy of that. It's not over either.
No. Let's talk about some of those predictions for 2011, John. We'll go through some of the things that you've talked about. You had mentioned a black and future king would be involved in a war with the third Antichrist in I believe you thought it would have been President Obama and Osama bin Laden. I'll let you explain.
Yes, in predictions for 2011, as well as predictions for 2010, I talked about the Nostradamus prophecy that talks about, it's a play on noir, which means black, but it can also be turned into le roi, which is French for king. And it's often been considered by experts of Nostradamus to be talking literally about a black king. Some people thought that meant black as in bad, think sometimes we have to look at it further. And when I looked at these prophecies, which I did a couple articles also on hoagprophecy.com about it, I basically pulled out that quote and in it said something to the effect that I believed it was about Barack Obama, that he was definitely going to go into Afghanistan and escalate his fighting there, escalate the drone attacks, which did indeed happen, and that he would, if necessary, go in and take out bin Laden on the ground with special forces in Pakistan.
In Pakistan.
You
talked about the possibility of a war, not necessarily in 2011, but a war nonetheless between the U.S. and Russia. Nostradamus referred that as the two great kingdoms of the North. You still see that on the horizon, John?
The key with this prophecy is it is supposed to happen either 3 years and 7 months or 11 to 13 years, actually 13 years. So there's a short and a long potential after these two great powers of the North, Aquilon, is what they're called. They're from Aquila, the eagle constellation, is the symbol totem for both nations on the north. And one of the keys with Nostradamus is that you have to understand classical metaphors that were highly popular in the language of the 16th century, in the mid-1650s when he was writing these. So you're looking at a hint at these two great kings of the north. There's some dating in some of these prophecies that show that actually date when they would become friends in the quatrain is 89 for 1989, and that is when the Cold War officially was deemed over. The Soviet Union collapsed the following year or two, and then we had two great kings of the North who had eagles as their totem, the bald eagle of America and the two-headed eagle returned to the Russian Federation. That is when I started to take close note of this series of prophecies concerning the great brothers of the North, who are Dami, friends, but it's spelled Demis in a little twist of code in Nostradamus' language, which also means in Latin to be halved or split. And that is nudged by another quatrain which talks about the great brothers who are not yet brothers of the North. They will be undermined by Babari, a source that's Babari. Now, Babari comes up a lot in Nostradamus' prophecies as his approximation of the Islamic terrorists of his day, which were corsair pirates who used to raid the coast of France, and they hijacked ships. And it's almost like he's trying to take something he knows mm-hmm. from his time and apply it to our future of future Islamic corsairs, which are these ambushers, he calls them, terrorists. So there's two ways you can translate it. Babari is also the ancient name of the Barbary coast. This is modern Tripoli. Mm-hmm. It is the western side of Libya, where Gaddafi's source of power was recently. So Libya is a key in that, which plays interestingly also in biblical prophecies that looks at an alliance of Egypt, Libya, Syria, or sometimes in regards to some Armageddon conflict in the Middle East. So, but it also, in the Nostradamian sense, goes a step further. Babare is a very easy anagram for the way you spell Arab in French. So by extension, it could be something of the Arab world undermines the two great brothers of the North. Either 3 years and 7 months or 13 years later, they go to war. And the victor is on the soil of Amerish, which is his other term for America. So this is an important message to talk about in prophecy circles, because not only is Nostradamus looking at this, but some other great prophets, Stormberger of the 1700s and others, have looked at this possibility of a three world war conflicts. The first two are clearly defined. The third happens when people least expect it. They literally walk in it with their eyes wide open. Mm-hmm.
And we're right in the middle of it, and we probably don't even know that when it happens.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a... And so it is highly important to look at things that are not addressed right now. For instance, Pakistan comes up in our talks over the years, as it does in my books, my annual almanacs. Pakistan right now is building atomic weapons. They could be building 20 a year if they keep going the way they're going. It's highly dangerous situation between India and Pakistan that is completely overlooked by what's going on in Afghanistan. So this is another way that Russia and America can be undermined in this conflict. The thing about Nostradamus is he's very good at giving year times, periods of time, that have again and again been chillingly accurate. He talks about Napoleon, he talks about this French Empire, what cost his empire very dearly, born near Italy. Well, Corsica, the island, Parrot Island, is very near Italy. And he was also, basically, his family's half Italian. Napoleone Buonaparte, before he turned his name more French, is really, he spoke fluent Italian. So anyway, that's it. And he says his empire would last 14 years, his tyranny. 1799, he became the dictator of France, and then a few years later, the emperor, and then after the Russian debacle, he resigned in 1814, 14 years.
There he was. Well, Nostradamus, he's uncanny.
So when When you then get these spans of years, it doesn't stop with the past prophecies. It's also in the future. The war of the third Antichrist, his third and final Antichrist, the only prophet in history that saw three. Napoleon was one, Hitler was another. The third is perhaps alive or recently dead in our times. But his war lasts either 27 years or 25 years. Or that means the 27-year war is followed by a 25-year war that comes after his death. The consequences of his death actually triggers the second war. That's one way of looking at it. So we're kind of right in that time space where the dating and all says, pretty much after 9/11, because we're just about to have the 10-year anniversary of something that I was writing articles about the potential of a terrorist attack on New York. It was documented articles that go all the way back to 1983. And over the years, one evolves an interpretation as more signs become clear. What finally happened, we actually did a show. I was on Fox called Prophecies for the Millennium or of the Millennium. And in that show, we created the fall of the two towers, 1996, saying this is how the second attempt is going to drop the two towers. And it was viewed only twice, in 1996 and then a few weeks before 9/11. And ever since that's happened, I've never had anybody at Fox get in touch with me again. It's like you get punished for accuracy.
For being right, yeah.
Yeah, and actually some of it wasn't right that we talked about. It would have been so wonderful to do a follow-up documentary about that where we show what we got right. Because it was people from all kinds of expertise. You even had Ollie North on the show. There was me. There was real security experts. And then, you know, I brought in the woo-woo factor. And so we had all these different people pointing to this importance of being vigilant and preventing this from happening, and it did happen. But some of it didn't happen, and that's what's always important, and that's why I document everything I say.
Sure. Well, would you say you were wrong, or it just time hasn't appeared for these events yet?
Well, that's partially possible. For instance, there's one thing that looks kind of wrong right at this moment in what I said for predictions for 2011, which I signed off on the winter solstice last year, is this opportunity for Netanyahu to actually push the peace process and set in motion a five-year process that would isolate Iran from its proxy allies that are fighting Israel and actually either force Iran to submit to international inspections, or there'd be a war in 2016 between Israel and Iran, and possibly America. Those are the two possibilities. But, you know, it may not be wrong. It may just be a factor, because I can't shake this feeling that there's probably one more war left in the collective subconscious of the Arabs and Israelis over the whole Palestinian issue.
Yeah, one more big one.
Yeah, and that may actually be coming very soon. But once that's done, we'll talk further about it, but once that's done, it may actually see a rapid move towards some kind of peaceful settlement.
We're talking with John Hoag, his website, of course, hoagprophecy.com. John, back to some Earth calamities and what might be going on. Well, this prediction of a hurricane and a strong season, especially along the eastern seaboard. Now we have another one called Kadia, which is now a Category 1 just over the last few moments. And it could also be creeping up the East Coast eventually, and it might become a Category 4 or 5.
Yes, that is one definitely to watch.
That could be a disaster of biblical proportions.
It could be, and if it does actually follow the hot water pathway of the globally warming oceans, another thing that's coming, you know, this is climate change happening, folks. The waters are reaching far, far farther north of tropical temperatures that allowed the Irene hurricane to come so far north and remain so strong. Even, you know, its strength was in its size.
Yes.
We are now currently getting reports that this is now in the top 10 most expensive property damage list as one of the most top 10 most expensive disasters in America.
And that was a Category 1, I think, John, by the time it hit inland. What happens if we get hit with a 405, a 405 category along the seaboard, and it's just as big?
I don't think we're going to see fours and fives that far north yet, but you will see such things in the 2020s, which I call the roaring 2020s, because of such a convergence of the critical mass of climate change and population stresses meeting the critical mass of human stupidity, holding on to its old habits, bickering over what day they're going to have a speech or a debate about jobs. You know, this sort of thing that's happening in the loss in faith of our leadership around the world is a part of a formula that's going to enter into the 2020s, which will be the most upheaval-filled decade in human history. The good side of that, there is a good side to all this. There is even a good sign to a second storm going up the same path if it is Katia. It will wake people up to the fact that there's something wrong with the Earth, we're having something to do with it, and we have the power to change our behavior and over a generation's time calm down this angry Earth. Because I've told you a couple of years now, that starting in my predictions for 2008, 2009, I said Mother Nature is declaring war on human stupidity and stress on its natural balances. Starting in 2010.
It's fighting back.
It's fighting back. And then I also said that 2010, everybody thought, what a violent year of weather and stuff. What's going on? But I said, you will forget 2010 when 2011 comes. And look at
so
it.
So true.
Yeah.
John, regularly you post on your website, Hogue Prophecy, a number of current articles, one of which is about seven quakes or temblors in September. Boy, here we go. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about quakes that are natural as well as quakes that are artificially induced by human stupidity. Quakes of politics as well as quakes of regional disruption as well as the potential for another major seismic activity towards the end of September. So it's not in the article. I've actually expanded it, and it's still posted, but I've actually changed the title slightly and expanded and added more to it. The one that's currently posted, HogueProphecy.com, also looks at second half of it was posted in 26th of August. And a lot of the things I said about Irene came true, unfortunately, that you know, we are looking at, there's two things to look at, the seven temblors of September, and there's also the fact that we are in a year, which I actually coined the phrase on your show earlier this year, that we're in the year that's going to be remembered as the year of 12 catastrophes.
Yeah, that's almost, right. You said that.
One per month. And, yeah, so, I mean, what I'd like to do in the show is take on each one of these seven in detail.
Okay, let's do that, John. We're going to come back in just a moment. John Hogue, our special guest, for the rest of tonight as we talk about his prophecies, and we'll get into what are some of these seven quakes of September and much more, by the way. We'll talk about his thoughts of President Obama. He has said he will win re-election. We'll get his take on that tonight, as well as Comet Elenin. We'll be back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you're looking to download the program, podcasting, and just have some fun, you can join the Coast Insiders Club for just 25 cents a day. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, more with John Hogue and prophecies on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with John Hogue, his website, hogueprophecy.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. John, let's talk about these seven temblors or quakes of September, if you want.
Yes, the first one is the United Nations declaring Palestine a state. This may happen between the 13th of September through 22nd of September. This is when the United Nations has scheduled to have a General Assembly. And in that, the General Assembly would be asked to vote for Palestine statehood. Now, this is very much the climate in astrology. You know, I use a lot of astrology in my work.
Right.
And we have a unique square that's going to be in and out. It's been a lot during this year and will be for the next few years because of very slow-moving planets. And in astrology, these planets are Uranus and Pluto, and they are 90 degrees from each other. They're staying just a degree or two in and out of that 90-degree angle, and they are currently moving backwards in the sky. Now that means retrograde in astrology. So with forward progress, that's difficult for any planet that's going retrograde, although for those who are seeking the inner truth, the path of meditation or the path of prayer and consciousness, it makes one naturally predisposed to look inward to find the solutions for outward problems. Like, what's my part in making this problem a problem? And if I understand that, then I'm no longer a problem. I'm the answer to the problem. So Uranus, which is the ruler of change, revolution, sudden surprises, chaos, is in a negative aspect, or I would say an evolutionary frictional aspect, like this is a growth point, with Pluto, which symbolizes in astrology the definer of a generational age. It's regeneration or how it will degenerate. Now, Pluto has not been in Capricorn since we were created as a nation and the Constitution was signed. And it was also 250 so years ago that this happened that middle classes began to emerge in the modern world, the middle classes of America and Europe. This led eventually to some of the great revolutions in America and France and other places that pretty much brought us a modern democratic era, with, of course, some hiccups like Napoleon and other issues. But over time, this was the first great wave of middle class people in the world. We are now at a point where this middle class in America and Europe are in their midlife crisis 250 years later. Things go in a 500-year cycle divided by 250 years often in history. And so we're halfway. We're in the midlife crisis of our current middle class in America and Europe. And we're now seeing emerging in a lot of the Asian nations and other nations around the world a whole new global middle class. It's also going to, with its education and its higher aspirations and its greater ambitions, going to run up against the same immovable force of a monarchical kind of problem that we had 250 years ago. And that is now the new aristocracy. That is the control. This is Capricorn. Pluto likes to control change, Uranus. But eventually, when push comes to shove, Uranus wins. In the first part of this transit, which will be going on with Pluto until the 2024 period, there's going to be, you can see the exertion of control. You can see the first chapter of 2011, my book, I talked about the coup d'etat of Politicorp, which is what I coin as the term for the new aristocracy, a corporate aristocracy. It's not blue-blooded, it's bottom-lined in billions of dollars and trillions of dollars. And it is now trying to exert a force over politics as a higher form of power over politics. It is not organized like a lot of conspiratists think, just like the aristocracies 250 years ago. We're not all one unified force. They were fighting each other for dominance as well. It's still happening.
Sure.
Like that.
Always will, probably.
But the thing is that this Uranus square Pluto is just the kind of thing that would pull the rug out from under all the Palestinian-Israeli peace process, the roadmap to peace that started after the Persian Gulf War in 1991. I feel that we're going to see as a shakeup that the actions in the United Nations are going to overnight pull the rug out from under that whole institutionalized debate club that is never seeming to find peace in the Middle East. And it's almost, there's two ways this could go.
And where would they carve out a Palestinian state, John? Because, you know, they're going to always fight over Jerusalem. But where are they going to carve it out?
Well, here's one of the great ironies of our modern times, is that in 1947, there were two partitions of two disputed countries after World War II that led to eastern and western halves of one country. You had, with the partition of India in August of 1947, you had the creation of East and West Pakistan.
That's right.
1,500 miles divided by the mass of India. A completely unsustainable idea that led to East Pakistan going to war with West Pakistan, which was trying to dominate it, and then it became Bangladesh. Well, now we have developing, with this new Palestinian state, you're going to see the struggle go to an East and West Palestine. Ironically, East Palestine is the West Bank, where Fatah dominates, which is a more conservative, secular, kind of old-fashioned view of Arab supremacy over an Arab justice, mm-hmm. you know, trying to find political fairness. And, of course, it has more acceptance by the Western world. But in the Western Palestine, which is the Gaza Strip, that is ruled by Hamas. And Hamas is in certain respects, the more topical, modern, rebellious, Iranian.
Yeah.
We don't recognize Israel's existence.
Much more militant, sending missiles.
And militant jihadist and supported by Iran, which is trying to fight, since 2006, a proxy war with Israel, either using Hezbollah or in Lebanon or Hamas. So you have the first thing that's probably going to happen is a civil conflict between Hamas and Fatah for the now. Once they have a state, now it's going to be a question of who runs the state.
Who runs it? Yeah.
So that then may lead into basically this Templar One is the Palestinian state being created. We're now talking about what I call Earthquake Six of September, which is where there is a conflict that draws Israel into a three front conflict with Hezbollah, Hamas, and Fatah. And it would be a very sudden and very violent war, short war. Israel would not, could not, will not show the restraint it had before. And one last terrible short, sharp conflict may be so shocking to all parties that at last they will see the futility of fighting over this.
Are you talking nukes?
No. Okay. No, but one of the things that's always been lingering, even back when Gaza was bombed was in 2009, I had a whole series on HogueProphecy.com ongoing when that war was going on. I think it was early 2009, end of 2008. Israel didn't want to go into the streets of Gaza because they were afraid of launching a kind of Arab Stalingrad. But this may actually, if it comes to blows, Israel will be forced to, in their mind's eye, destroy Hamas as an effective political body.
Once and for all.
That would require them getting into urban conflict that could be quite bloody.
Yeah.
And very tragic. But, you know, what's important about these quakes, especially the man-made ones, is they can be altered. Because there's another thing that's going on in astrology, and at last I can say something positive, is that Jupiter, which is the planet of expansion and higher-mindedness, higher spirit, bigger picture, brotherhood, is going to be in a positive aspect, a trine, with Pluto, the definer of our era, our generation. And it's going to be, they're both currently in retrograde, going backwards, so introspection, expansion within is possible. In September 16th, Jupiter will start its trine with Pluto, so it's mid-month. So I feel the first half of the month is going to be really tough, but there's a possibility in the middle of the month that can last till the 8th of December, I believe, where this harmonious aspect might be out there that could, you might see it in some of our leaders, some of the people where we're sitting back and saying, you know, how could we fix this problem? Let's stop polarizing and let's solve the problem. Pluto in Capricorn is about structure and order. Capricorn is about how do you make it work? Practicality, business, profitability, reason. There's a possibility that you might see from the weariness people are having over this childish bickering or that's going on with our leaders all over the world, that there's a surge out there where people, and it's being felt. I've been writing about it for a few years now in Palestine. I saw what the prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, Fatah, was doing in the West Bank. And I was an early proponent of the fact that this rather revolutionary idea of where they just threw up their hands and said, you know, we're not going to wait for the peace teams to sort this out. We're just going to start building the infrastructure for state. We're just going to do it. We're going to make the state, and then it's like these people bickering about what to do will have to come along and deal with this reality.
It's like building a stadium in a city before you get your football team.
Or it's an interesting analogy, but it's the reality is that you take your analogy a different way. It's like you have the owners and the players union bickering about creating a football team. And finally, the people get sick and tired of it, and they just pick their own football players and build a stadium play. And that's been going on. It's also been going on. A lot of people in Israel have wanted this, too. So it's a groundswell from the grassroots that a lot of the news has not caught on to, but it is growing. And strange, it seems ironic to say that in this paroxysm, in this travail of birth, there may be one more war that what might actually lead to something even quicker and more positive happening in the region. And, you know, a lot of times when I get these messages and write them down, I personally don't know how in the world that can happen, like Barack Obama.
So you even doubt sometimes your own prophecies.
Oh, well, yeah, because they're really not my prophecies. I am facilitating them to come through this mysterious process I call the oracle.
Okay.
And so I am getting the message and I'm being the messenger.
Well, this is a dramatic story.
Well, it's my middle name. It's kind of funny. My middle name's Harold. So, you know, I guess I'm playing Harold here, you know, So I, as a person, look at these messages over the years and go, that can't happen, and or it goes against my politics, or it goes against my religious biases, or whatever. But I've had to trust it over the years, and it often happens that it comes to fruition.
Okay,
and,
well,
yeah,
we will monitor that. Now, but when you talk about the seven Temblers, does that include most of item number one, or are there offshoots of that?
Well, the way I set it up in Hope Prophecy and the article is the first is the creation of the Palestinian. I'll just really quickly go through them all, and we can go through them a little more in depth.
Okay.
Palestinian state is number one.
All right.
That's going to pull the rug out from under the political climate of the last couple decades, and it will either force it over an abyss, or it will force the unthinkable to be placed before people, and then they will have to work it out because there's no – it's kind of breaks the, well, the 20-year brain fart, you know, that's been going on for peace. Now that's all gone, and now they've got to do it. So or they have a war.
That's
that
cool.
Leads into the Eurobank crisis.
Okay.
That's – you know, I so often hear the talking heads over the last few months constantly talking about how the recession has not returned. And their factoring of that is that they ignore the climate change issues that are overloading FEMA and insurance companies with these significant disasters, that even Munich Re, which is absolutely works on accurate reporting is the basis for all insurance pricing. And they're even saying these are climate global warming events that are causing more and more damage, so some of the highest amounts of damage ever. And I've been saying on your show and writing for years that the biggest undertow that could take down the economy is climate change, because it keeps ramming more and more of these storms. One of these days, if it's not Katia, it's going to happen where you're going to have an Irene event, and next week, another one, right up the same
bang,
place,
bang,
and another
bang.
One. And that will alter world economy and disrupt things happening. We're already seeing that with the significant loss of crops from the floods in the central United States and the droughts that have wiped out the corn and wheat crops of Oklahoma and Texas. And that equates to the winter wheat prices. You're going to see more upheaval over the wintertime in regions that are running out of food and running out of money to pay for bread. That is what triggered the Arab Spring and rebellions.
But you see the Eurobank crisis as part of all of this? As number two?
It's huge.
Okay.
It's number two because it's a big, the reason why it didn't happen in August is because basically Europe takes a break from history.
Yeah, they're gone.
they're gone. But I call in the article, it says, when they all come back, they put their sailboats back in the mooring and they start paling out from their tans, they're going to have to go back to the office and deal with the great big dragon of this banking crisis, debt crisis situation that even just recently, Angela Merkel of Germany, Prime Minister of Germany, and Sarkozy of France have rejected the idea of a euro bond system that might help strengthen the European system, which is actually quite shallow. They don't have a lot of deep pockets to deal with this problem because Europe has not really centralized its financial perspective any more than its national perspective.
All right. Bust through these others really quickly, John, before the break, and then we'll go through some of them next hour.
Number three is the Great Recession returning, and that is triggered by the Eurobank crisis. Number four is hurricane season is going to peak in September, and we're just seeing the beginning of it. Just like the tornado season, it started late, but it's coming with a vengeance. Number five is the Syrian civil war. That is also a part of triggering the Arab-Israeli war potential. And finally, we have the fourth lineup of Comet Elenin with the sun and the earth on the 25th of September. Three times this lineup has happened as this little comet is coming into our solar system. All three times were major seismic events, two of which also had Pacific-wide tsunamis.
I'm missing one. I got Palestine, Eurobank, Great Recession, Hurricane, Syria, the comet. I need
Arab-Israeli,
one more.
Arab-Israeli war, number six.
Okay.
And then a comet lane in creating a seismic tsunami event.
Okay. And these are all huge events. And you see all of this in September?
This could all happen potentially in September.
What a month.
Or it could be the start of the momentum. The snowballs might start rolling in September. We might not actually see the events happen but begin. That's the thing with events in history. It may start rolling, and then you might see it in October or November really apparent, but you will see the signs of where it begins.
All right, John. We're going to be back with you in a moment. Let's start with the last one, Comet Elenin, and back up, because that's on everybody's mind right now. We'll be back.